Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you so much. We thank you so much for the word that you have given us, Lord, that we can take this word, that it doesn't matter if it's me or Pastor Don or one of the elders, John today, Lord, it's your word. It's your truth, and we can count on the fact that it's real, that it's true, that it's life-changing, that it's reality. And, Lord, I pray today for John, Lord God, that your hand would be upon him, that your anointing would be upon him, that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit even again right now, Lord God, that you would pour out your Spirit upon him and also upon each one of us, that we might receive this word from you. Lord, we thank you for it even right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father.
Amen. Amen. Well, today I'm going to talk about accepting your call by being an overcomer. You know, it's not easy to go through this life to live in the flesh and to know the Spirit. It's like we experience love, we experience emotions and hate. We can't explain them, but we have them. They just come up, okay? And I think that, you know, it's just from my perspective, you know, I'm up here today because God developed me and I accepted some of the challenges in my life. Just a little background on me. If you knew me as a young man in school, you probably didn't know me because I had very few friends. I was very insecure. I didn't really talk a lot. As a matter of fact, and I've shared this story before with people, that I was in my 10th year reunion when I had started to come out of my shell. I had one of the girls from school come up to me and say, because she heard me talking, she said, "John, I never knew you spoke." So, and to just take that another step, God put me into sales. You know, and he put me in a job that I didn't deserve by any means. I mean, matter of fact, when I was done with the interview, the regional vice president of sales said to me, "Do you really want this job?" I paused, thought about it, and half-heartedly said yes, and I still got it. Do you know why? Because God wanted me to grow up. He wanted me to get rid of some of the things that had happened in my life through my childhood that made me the person I wasn't supposed to be. But he was calling me to a greater thing. Now, this message could be 15 minutes. It could be 35 or 40 minutes. But the key thing here is that I believe that God gave me something in here for somebody in this church. Somebody in here, regardless of how well this message gets delivered, it could be just adequate. The Holy Spirit gets involved, it could be great. But the reality is, if you listen to what the Spirit, I believe, has spoke to me, you will get something out of this message. And so it doesn't take a great sermon to deliver the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you looked at Jonah to the Ninevites, he had one message, that you will be destroyed if you don't repent. And they were people that hated the Jews, they fought against the Jews, but that one word, as he spoke it, whatever the reasons were, and I know it was the Holy Spirit, was already delivered to them. They accepted it and they repented. So, again, it's just the word. Listen for the word that's for you, because everybody in here needs to overcome something in their life. Amen? When I really got into this, one thing you need to know is that we are all children. Okay? We're children in the eyes of God. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. You are a child of God. Some of us, if you came in at 60 years old, you are going to get something that God wants to give you that will renew your spirit. but you will be a baby because you do not know the Word of God. You need to learn those things. And when I was talking, when I was praying to God about what it is that He wanted me to deliver to you, He said, tell them to help them find me. Help them choose me. Help them find me. What is it that we do in our lives if we're Christians that is the most important thing that we do? It's help them find Christ. But what are the challenges that we have? Why can't we make that happen? Why can't we get the things out of us so that the person that we're speaking to receives the word that we have to say? It's because we have our own challenges. We have our own inadequacies. We have our own problems that we need to overcome. But the world needs you to get rid of your weakness. The world needs you to become strong in the Word of God. If you're not studying the Word of God, you need to get into it. You need to know what God is saying to His people, and you need to believe it. You know, I'm jumping around here already, and I haven't even got to the message yet. But, you know, you need to believe that the Word of God is the spoken truth. If there is any doubt in your heart that there's something that does not applicable to you today, then you need to get back into prayer and understand and get that truth that's in your heart. Because I'll tell you what will happen. You'll get all confused by the things that the world is telling you. And that truth will be robbed from you. And then you will have to struggle all over again to get back. So we need to understand our strengths and address our weaknesses. Because, you know, believe it or not, you have strengths. You may think that you can't speak in front of people and you can't do this or you can't do that. That's the way I felt. Matter of fact, I was as nervous today as I was the first sales presentation I had to do in front of my boss. But the thing is that, you know, if we have to overcome our fears. We have to overcome the things that keep holding us from doing the Word of God. There's some of you in here that have great gifts. Some of you have great talent. Just because you have a great talent, just because you can play music, and I was talking to my son about this the other day, just because you can play music and you got a great voice, that may not be anywhere near the gift that God wants to use, the gift that He put into you, that He wants to use. It's a talent that you have, but it's not necessarily where He's got you, He wants to use you the most. Amen? And the challenges that we have affect our beliefs, which in turn affect our faith. And those are some of the things that I'm going to talk about. First of all, I'd like to bring up Galatians 5:22-23. And Ken, I'm not going to get into this because I know we've got a whole, what they said, 20 weeks that we got to talk on. Bob's controls everything, and he just 25. See, I knew I shouldn't have spoke up. But in Galatians 5:22-23, we all know this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's got forbearance, but patience, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know what? If we as Christians were perfect, we would live this way. But we're not, unfortunately. But one of the questions I had here was, which of these fruits do you have the most trouble with? Did I hear somebody say all of them? You know, this is the nature of Christ. This is the nature of God for us. You know, we can look at all of the things that God did to his people in the Old Testament and all the struggles and challenges that he had with us. And today, you know, we're looking now through Christ's eyes. And it's a different perspective, because in the Old Testament, everybody had to live by the law or give sacrifice for their sins. Christ became the complete sacrifice for us. And yet, you know, and here we've got his perspective, because he died on the cross for how much he loved you. If you were the last person in here, it would have been for you. We have a hard time grasping that. And I'll tell you, this is some of the challenges that I'm going to talk about. But one of the things that I wanted to say was here on these, if they're posted, I didn't know if they were up there or not.
They were?
Okay. But in Galatians, you should put one of each of these on a sheet of paper and put it up on your wall. And the days that you have trouble with your spouse, bring up the one you're having a hard time with to remind you. Okay? Nancy's would be long-suffering. She's had to live with me for a long time. But your success with these fruits, by the way, is everybody's success. Everybody in here is going to benefit from the success that you have. And I know, you know, there's people that have been and were sent out from this church that we still remember because of the spirit that they came in with. The spirit that lived within them drew us to them. They didn't need to demand it. You know, I don't care. You, as a leader, you don't need to demand it. If as a leader, you should command respect. And there's a difference, you know. Because when you demand it, people will fight you. When you command it, they're drawn to you. But you command it by being in the Spirit of Christ and leading people with the goodness that he's brought. You know, Paul was actually a good example of the fruits, okay? I mean, Paul suffered and endured and did all things. I mean, I'd have to reread it, but was there ever a scripture where he got so angry that he turned over things in the tabernacle or something? You know, I know that was Jesus. That's what I'm saying. Was there ever anything? I don't remember. He always seemed to want to endure for the churches that he was bringing the word of Christ to. He had long suffering for them. He had all of these fruits that I could see. And that's something that we as Christians need to bear. And Paul also said in 2 Corinthians 12:10, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, I am strong." You know, I think we misinterpret that scripture quite a bit. We think the weakness is our sin, but the reality is, if you look in this word, it's saying he delights in insults, hardships, persecutions. How many of us can delight in weakness? If somebody's attacking you, if somebody's calling you names, if somebody's talking behind your back, if somebody's, you know, just destroying who you are as a person, can you have that grace, that mercy, that long-suffering to endure when they're attacking you, scrubbing your whole name through? You know what? That's Paul's talking about. He delights in that weakness because he knows where his strength comes from. He knows who gives him the power. And he knows that if his job is to be carried out, who's going to carry it out for him? You know, so many times we try to control our environment. We try to control the things. We do all good things in the name of God. We serve ministries. We do this, we do that. You know, those are all good things. But the reality is that the truth comes down to the point of what does God want us to do? Are we listening to him? You know, we can do all good works. We can burn ourselves out. People have left the church because they're the only ones that can do anything. You know, and I got back to, you know, leaders, and I'm going to get into that, but how a leader needs to build like leaders. You know, we need to build, we need to replicate ourselves. Amen. And by the way, everybody in here, if you're following Christ, is a leader. Amen. Or is destined to be one. The best defense against an enemy is to know where his strengths lie and where his weaknesses lie. And in case of spiritual warfare, the best place to know the enemy's strength is to know yourself. Can I say that again? Where do we look? You know, we pray for presidents. We pray for the lions. We pray for the tigers. Lions, tigers, and bears. But anyway, you know, we do all of that. And the thing, the reality is that we are not praying. We're not making any difference because we haven't. We want to affect the big picture. We want to go out there and change the world instead of changing ourselves. You know. Those are, and the thing that God's always speaking to me is that if we want to change the world, we do it one person at a time. But God will do it in masses. And when you know that the Holy Spirit was with the apostles and thousands were added unto them, same thing can happen here. Now the challenge that you have when you have thousands added unto you, do we have the people ready to take them on? That's the whole thing. You need to build, we need a strength of leadership in our church so that we can take on the masses. It's not about, you know, the preaching or the music or anything else. It's about us. It's about the change that God wants to do in us. Everyone who comes in through those doors comes in with baggage. Are we ready to accept the baggage? Or do we struggle to throw it out with the person? We need to get rid of the individual baggage that we carry so that we can help somebody else get rid of theirs. Amen? The struggles, really, we have, there's many areas where we struggle. I'm just going to touch on a few of them. But one of them is against worldview. And everybody up here was giving my message. I was talking up in front. But when we talk about the world, you know, the world, Pastor John was saying that, you know, the world can't understand. They don't understand what we're doing. They don't understand the concept of God. As a matter of fact, they are hiding from God just like Adam did. They are covering themselves up behind a tree, under a brush, hoping that they won't get found. And the thing is that God already knows where they are. But, you know, we've given the world a lot of strength because we listen to the tidbits here and there. You know, it's a woman's right to kill a child. You know, as a matter of fact, if you watch TV anymore, you know what, and by the way, any sin is sin. It doesn't matter what kind it is. But if you believe in Scripture and Scripture condemns a sin, then we need to understand that that is a sin, and we can't accept the world's okay by it. You know, if you watch any TV show today, you will see homosexuality in almost every show that you watch. Okay. As a matter of fact, they play it out so well that you start to cry for the individual because of their lost relationships and those kinds of things. You empathize with them. You know, as we empathize, we give it credence. And when you give it credence, it changes your heart. It changes it against the Word of God. And if we live by the standard, then we need to believe that the Word of God is the Word of God. Okay? It makes us focus on its demands. It makes us focus on its unbelief. Because it's in your face 24/7 today. It's so easy to get the lies put into Facebook, TV, whatever. It comes at us in all different directions. So we need to really struggle to keep that out of our hearts. Another struggle that we have is against family and friends. Now, and I tell you what, I'm the man I am today because of my family, because of God, but because of my family. Regardless of when there was a time when I was a preachy dad and a preachy husband, and everybody was rejecting everything I said, I was frustrated. And you know what? Those challenges actually changed my perception of what I was doing. Because you know what? I was right, wasn't I? I mean, I'm telling them that, wasn't I right? I mean, Dad is always right, you know. But you know what? There comes a time in your life when you know that the way you teach your children and the way you help your spouse is to really know the heart of God and live by that Galatians 5:22. You know, there's nothing that I can do that is going to change somebody's heart if I don't deliver it with truth, honesty, and the Holy Spirit, love, and the guidance from God. You know, I could have beat my kids into submission, and maybe I did. Sorry for that. But the truth of the matter is that they eventually have to make a choice. If I don't teach them to make a choice, then they're going to choose against me. And I think for a time, there was a time when everybody experienced that. And then God told me, as a matter of fact, my daughter confirmed it, that God told me to shut up. Told me to shut up. And when I did, and I said, God, you bring them back to me. You bring them back to you. Because he knew my heart. He knew I wanted my children to serve God because I know there's no doubt in my mind that God exists. There's no doubt in my mind that Jesus Christ saved me. There's no doubt in my mind that he loves me. And when I get into that pit, and I can get there very easily, I'm telling you, it's a struggle for me. Most people don't know it, but it's a struggle for me to stay out of the hole. Because it was very difficult when my children weren't going the way I wanted them to go. And it reflected back on me as a failure. And I know that's the same way my wife feels too, you know. But the thing is that I trust in God. I had to trust in God enough that even if it happened on their deathbed, that I know it's going to happen, you know. That he's not going to let my children flail in this world and not achieve eternity. Because that's something that we all have to. You know, and I talk a lot about family because family is where we get most of our acceptance or our denial. It's where we are hurt the most. It's where the one that's next to you right there sitting by your side knows your every weakness and knows your every fault. And if they're hurt, the first thing they do is they attack your weakness because they're defending themselves. Or they want to hurt you because, and that happens. I've done it. I know we've all done it. Well, maybe not everybody, but, you know, we know where it is. One of the bigger struggles that we have, too, is against ourselves. You know, our needs, wants, our preconception. A lot of us walk into this church with a concept that God's going to give me something if I give him something. If I could put that to rest, is that the thing that God gives you is peace in the storm. The thing that God has already given you is Jesus Christ and your eternity through him. If we always leave that eternity out, if we leave Jesus Christ and the gift that he's given us out of the picture, then we have a more difficult time with our trials and our struggles. You know, those are the things that we have to just overcome in ourselves, is that we need to give up ourselves. We need to give up our flesh. And I'll be talking about that here in a second. Projecting. How many of us here have gone through life, and this is just, the reason I'm bringing these things up is not really to condemn anybody. We all do these things. It's just to bring light to things that some of us really like to hide. We will hide our challenges in our life. And we can go through life and we can do ministry, we can do all these things, but the reality is that somewhere along the line, that's going to catch up to us. The things that we don't lay down before God are going to catch up to us. And how many of us, I almost take it like a ring of walls, you know, that we have built around our heart and around ourselves. And we go and we have a victory. We have a great victory. We've just quit smoking. God healed me from smoking. One of the walls came down, you know. My wife loves me now. That's a wall that came down. A victory. I got a victory. She loves me again. But you know what? We build these walls around us, and we gradually let God take them down. Okay? But there's one of these walls that is very, very, very sturdy. You know, it's almost like it's the inner wall. It's like, you know, the inner wall in the Colosseum was the strong wall that held up the big one on the outside. If you took it down, the big one would fall easily. But we let these outer walls fall down because they're easy. Oh, I can do that. I can do that. I can give up that. I can do this. But when it comes into the ones of unforgiveness, that wall's... Somebody has hurt us, and that's the most difficult thing to give up. You know, we need to learn the fruits of the Spirit so that we can love people in spite of themselves. Okay. In Isaiah 53:5, it said, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." By his stripes we are healed. Again, I guess it just goes back to believing in who God is and what he's done, that we can accept that healing. You know, another struggle we have is our belief in God. God is a big struggle for some people, and that's why we're here, to help each other deepen that relationship with Christ. You know, faith must be tested. You know, you can't have a faith that is built on the first success. And now I have faith in God. Because, again, when I was talking about those walls, as each one of those walls come down, you have to give, the ones that are closest to your heart, Those are the ones that you really have to have faith in. And faith must be tested. So if you have failings in your life and you have failings in your faith, it's because they're being tested. Because if you get tested and your faith fails, then you don't have faith. Am I right? So you need to have, your faith needs to be tested. In Matthew 16, 24, 25, then Jesus said to his disciples, who said this? Who do we follow? Who is our Savior? Who provides the understanding? Gotcha. The Holy Spirit. I just thought I'd run you down a path, see how easily we can be led. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. This just says, based on what I'm talking about today, that if we want to be disciples of Christ, we need to be overcomers. The scripture is about accepting the call of God on our life, but as this scripture shows us what is required, it also brings out our challenges. This is a difficult scripture for some people, you know, because, you know, it says that we got to give up everything in order to be a follower. But if you get this, you really get it, then you know that the reward is greater than the sacrifice. It's greater than the sacrifice. But you have to believe in eternal life. First part of this, it says, the pieces that I picked out of here is deny yourself. Humility. God's priority ahead of yours. It's putting somebody else's priorities ahead of yours. It's talking about laying down your pride. You know, and pride is such a subtle thing. Pride is so subtle. You know, I'm not even going to mention the movie because it's probably not one I watched a long while ago. You know, you don't want to see it. I mean, there's some things in it, but there was a movie. There was an attorney, and some of you may have seen this, that was controlled. He was led into greatness by the devil. His wife was resistant. His wife actually got him out of it, and he turned away from the devil, but he had to almost die to do it. In the end of the show, he was talking again with the devil, not knowing it. It was his own mind. And the devil had started to give him instructions on what he should do, what he could do. And he said, no, I'm not going there again. No, I'm not going there again. I won't do that. No, I'm not doing that. And he was arguing this little battle within himself. And then the last thing the devil said was so subtle and so laying down of his armor and his weapon that he said, you know what, that's a good idea. And again, away he was taken. If we look to anything from ourselves, we will never fully achieve the power and greatness that God has for you. Humility is more than just a word. It's an action. It's an action of the heart. And it needs to change. Because you've got this power leakage that keeps coming out of you. Just when you think you got things going in the right direction, you know, I think of the Jimmy Bakers and the Jimmy Swaggerts of the world who built this great kingdom of theirs, and they had this great following, but one sin leaked everything out for both of them. Totally, practically destroyed everything they did. And you know, the sad part about that is that there were people that went down with them. They were so ingrained in their ministry that they forgot about what they were doing and how it would harm the people. So humility is key. It says, take up their cross. You know, a lot of us think that take up your cross is sacrifice, and it is. But it's also fight. That's a fighting command. Because did Christ not, what did he do? He was whipped, he was beaten, he was thrown to the ground, he carried a cross for you. For everyone in here, he took that cross all the way so that they could put him on it and crucify him. That was fight in his spirit because he knew who he was doing it for. He wasn't doing it for himself. Who would go like get beaten and thrown on a cross for themselves? He did it for you. You know? And yet we struggle because, oh, I didn't get my Coke today. You know? We have all these little things that start nitpicking and the details. We love the details, don't we? My wife was given to me because she loves the details. She really loves the details. She really, really loves the details. You know, I love my wife. I love my family. And I would do anything for them. But sometimes, you know, I get lazy. I'm not always the man of God that God wants me to be. And those are the challenges that we have. Amen. The thing I'm going to follow me is lead. You know, we are here to help them find Jesus by following him. We become leaders now. Christ isn't here anymore. We become the leaders. And a leader needs to replicate. I said this earlier. We need to replicate who we are in Christ through others. And if we're not perfect yet, we need to get perfect so we can bring up perfect children. And they're still working on me about that. As we follow Christ, what have we become? What did I just say? Leaders. Good Christian leaders replicate themselves. And again, the last one here is save your life, lose your life. Lose your life for me, find it. And I guess the real question here, do you believe in eternal life? Do you believe in the everlasting? Can you focus on the everlasting when you're going through trials and struggles of your life? In 2 Peter 1:5-11, it says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. See, all of these things lead, one leads to another as we submit to them, we give them over. It says here, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. It says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And last scripture is Matthew 12:33. It says, make a good tree and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. for a tree is recognized by its fruit. As leaders of this church, we want everyone to bear good fruit. I'm hoping that you want to bear good fruit. I'm hoping that you're willing to sacrifice. And you know, we go to the mountaintops, we scream, God is good, God is great. It's a lovely day. And Bobby, I know you're on the mountaintop today. You're on the mountaintop today. He come in so happy and bouncy and stuff. He was all over everybody. Loved it. Anyway. Well, if it doesn't work, that's... Anyway, the whole purpose of this was to get you to the mountaintop. Get you happy. Get you dancing, clapping. That's okay. But the idea here is that, you know, we need to get to the mountaintop. We need to get up there. We need to let God touch us and renew us and refresh us and do all the things that God can do for you. But the truth of the matter is that it's in the valley where all the work is done. It's in the valley where sin resides. It's in the valley where the lost are found. And not everybody can get to the mountaintop, so we have to help them. We have to encourage them. We have to encourage each other. There's people in here that are hurting. There's people that are struggling with their own, their self-doubts, their unbelief, their whatever it is. You know, sometimes people are turned off by the foolishness of Christians. You know, we need to, you know, don't boast your Christianity and then go out and make a fool of yourself. You know, be quiet and let your life live it. Let your life turn people's lives around, because they will believe the Christ in you when you bring it to them at that point. All right? So, that being said, we need to make ourselves stronger in our faith so that we can do what? Help them find Jesus. Help them choose Jesus. Amen?
Thank you.
Well, we want the prayer team to come forward. Thank you.